verses 5, chapters 11 through 25. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to our consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is in Christ God. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the word to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord. Now we will read the Psalm 22, verses 19 through 28, responsively. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid. Save me from the lion's mouth. From the horns of wild bulls, you have rescued me. You who fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God. The word of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you turn to that first hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory, the first verse, the third musical staff line, I always am leery of singing this song either before church or before worship service or before a sermon, because it says, grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. So I will not preach an hour. Some people get a little nervous if worship goes beyond an hour. But you have sung, give us grace and wisdom to do that. So let me try a few things with you. You see if you can put them all together in pieces. So this is group participation. I'm going to give you some phrases that you have probably heard in your life, but I want to see if you can identify what they might have in common. Ready? Here it is. Practice what you preach. Walk the walk, don't just talk the talk. Put your money where your mouth is. Excuse the words on this one, but here it is. Put up or shut up. You are what you eat. Anybody? What's in common? What do you hear that's in common with them? What are they talking about? Say it louder. Okay. Be authentic. You people going on a mission trip, I hope you're acting on this, right? To not just talk the talk, but, right? You're going to walk the walk. It means what? Thank you. Be a good example. Practice what you preach. It's not what you just say, but also a lot with what? What you do. They said that St. Francis supposedly said, preach the gospel and sometimes use words, so somehow our actions have a lot of meaning to them. That's what Paul is talking about to this Corinthian congregation. We've been in this letter for the last few weeks. It's a letter to a congregation that is constantly in turmoil. They find ways, they sound like us in many ways in the world, they find ways to argue, to find fault in each other, to somehow compete with each other. Some of you know that I can be competitive. And sometimes that becomes So this is that kind of community. And Paul says, he constantly comes back to this. He says, no, that's not what we're about. That's how maybe how the world encourages us, right? Get out there and fight, you know, dog eat dog, pull yourselves up, you know, be competitive. That's how you go about doing it. And Paul says, no, what this is about is something different, totally different. I have no understanding, no clue why people say that having that somehow love is not strong enough, that love is really meaningless. People say, what do you stand for? And what I have learned to understand what people mean by that is people are looking for a statement, a firm statement of judgment, of hatred, and that's what they mean with stand for something. And when I say to them, but I stand for God's love, they look at you like you're just, well, what is that? That's just mushy kind of stuff. And they forget that Paul talks about that this is what it takes, this is what it looks like when we are following Jesus. Not following the world or following our own insights, it's following Jesus. That Jesus chose to do something so different, and that is to love the world. And it's not this sentimental stuff that you and I may have become accustomed to in accepting. This is about a real kind of love. That look at that letter. Open up your bulletins and you can see where some of this stuff comes out, and especially at the end. Verse 19. That is, and Paul's talking about reconciliation, and that's another way of talking about forgiveness. It's another way of talking about God's love. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself. And here's the key one for us to understand. Not counting their trespasses against them. Now, if you are like me, you may have lists of trespasses that people have had against you. And we make great judgments and we form a lot of hate because of those trespasses. But here, Paul says, this is not how God functions. God doesn't function like this. God says, I do not remember. I forget. We are ambassadors of this kind of love, this kind of reconciling love. We have a job, in other words. We have a message. Don't let anybody tell you you have no purpose in life, that you have no point in life. We have a message to proclaim this type of love all the time. There's a book I've lent out. I've had to rebuy, lent it out again, rebought, because I keep forgetting who I lend the book to. I think I would learn after all that time, but I've purchased it again. It's called, Is Forgiveness Humanly Possible? And the author of the book begins to help people understand that this forgiveness that we talk about is easy to talk about from this direction, but it's hard from this direction. Because we have so many tapes playing in our head and so many ways that to build these barriers up between others in order for us to feel somehow safe and secure and strong, that we forget to break through those barriers with this kind of love that Jesus has shown us again and again. not counting our trespasses against us. Paul says that if we are to be followers of Jesus, we are to share the same forgiveness that we have been given. So I don't think the problem necessarily begins with our inability to share. I think actually it starts with our inability to receive. I ask confirmation students, and you can verify this, right? When you did your affirmation of faith when you were confirmed, many of you, and you wrote these things and you wrote these words, and I grew up going to a church school and a church high school, elementary and a church high school, so I learned how to do this really well, how to use God language in order to get a better grade. You know, it's hard to give you a bad grade when you say Jesus loves you in a paper, okay? So confirmation students will say, well, I believe that Jesus forgives me all my sins. And I look at them and I said, I have no idea what you mean by that. We use language so easily, it comes out so easily, but do we really grasp what the depth of what Jesus is talking about when he says, I forgive you all of your sins. This is my body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins. We hear it again and again and again. And it's as if somehow it's like water on a duck, and I have ducks, so I know what water does with ducks, is it just rolls off their back. That somehow we forget the depth of what God is doing for us, in us, on behalf of us, by not remembering our trespasses and forgetting them and letting us go away again with a clean slate. Because if you're like me, you do the things that you should not and you don't do the things you should. A good friend of mine was just told that she has 6 months to live. Now she's 96 years old, so you wouldn't, you know, you think, well, okay, she's 96. So I said to her, you know, looking back on your life, do you have any regrets? And she thought about it a moment and she said, no. She said, I'm kind of like my father, she said. I can't do anything about the past. I can dwell on it maybe and let it eat me up. It may, you know, just continues to kind of bury me down and burden me and just weigh me down, she said. But I've learned to say, you know, that's in God's hands, and I move on. And I don't know if that's a real good, healthy thing, but all the time, but I think it is at least an important piece for me to understand what's happening with God and me. That God is letting go and letting me let go of all those things that have just, you know, burdened me with the shoulds and the should nots. That's what forgiveness is for us. And if you can grasp that, then I believe we can move into this idea of sharing it, because God never says, oh, I'm going to give you all this stuff, and just let you hold on to it and be nice and secure. But God says, now that you know this for yourself. See, here's a key, this is probably more than you want to ever know. But in Paul's letters, he always says, if you are, you know, it sounds like a condition, right? But it really means in Greek, since you are already. And so that's how Paul thinks. Since you are already in Christ, since you already are forgiven, since you are already a new creation, it's not like I have to earn it, but since you are already that, therefore, then Paul says all over the place, therefore, then share that. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I don't have to perform to someone's expectations. I am already a child of God. And God says, that great gift that I give you over and over and over again, it never ends. Grace upon grace, we say over and over again. Grace upon grace. That's the love that Jesus has for us, for the world, even our enemies, even those siblings that you are irritated with and just can't stand, even those neighbors that you have a hard time with, even those who are so close to you. Jesus says, that is the grace that I give to the world. And when we finally embrace that and can say, I am reconciled between God and myself, and this Jesus' love is so strong, it makes that happen. then it allows us, as Paul says, to see each other not in the old way, but in a new way. So here's what I'm going to ask of you. Over this last week, I went on vacation with my daughter, who is an obsessive, compulsive, I have no idea where she got those attributes from, exercise, health fanatic. You know, I don't know if you've ever been around someone like that, but you know, when you love chocolate like I do, it's really hard to be with someone who, just as you're ready to savor this chocolate bar, to say, Dad, she said, you have to go on, you have to do this, Dad. It's called Whole 30. Now, I don't know if you know what Whole 30 is, so I Googled it up, and she said, well, Dad, I got the book. Do you want to read? I said, you want to see a book I'm reading right now? And it's got all this data and stuff. I said, that's what I read all the time. I said, I'd like to read pleasure. I don't want to read some data thing, scientific thing. Just give me the cliff notes. And so she said, well, here it is. Here's what you can eat and here's what you can't eat. And I looked at that and I go, oh, that's interesting. And so I'm actually going to try that in July, 30 days in July, Whole 30. Look it up. You can Google it and figure out what it is. But here's where it comes to this lesson. Paul is saying, this is about doing, not just talking the talk. This is about modeling the very thing that you cherish at the heart of your life. If you cherish the idea that you can say that I am a child of God, that God loves me and God forgives me for all, even the schlucky things that I do in my life and all those things I keep repeating, that God still accepts and loves me, if that's something that somehow brings you that power, then here's the 30-day challenge that I offer to all of us, this Whole 30, is to use these next 30 days and to find someone that you are not reconciled with. Find someone in your life, in your circle of life, that has just been hard to reconcile with. And to go up to them and do this. Say to them, can we start over again? That's what God does. The resurrection, folks, by the way, is not Jesus coming out of the grave. It's God defeating death. And if God can defeat death, then the resurrection becomes every time we offer forgiveness, every time we enter into reconciliation, we become a mini resurrection happening again and again. If you can find someone in your life that you can go up to and say, look, can we start all over again? Or here, better yet, you could say, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I don't want to have this barrier between us. What if for 30 days we practice that kind of living? In part, that's what Paul would say to us. This is how we live all of our days. This is what new creations look like, think like, and act like. The world says to us that love isn't strong enough. I say to you that love can transform the world. And it can transform even the relationships within your world. And it can even transform you. Not having to go around with all the burden of your guilt and shame, and to let it go as God says, I don't count those against you. Why are you counting it against you? I love you. Can we be ambassadors of that reconciliation love in our own life? Try that for 30 days. And then eat your chocolate afterwards. And give thanks and praise to God. Amen.